to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
All right. Couple of weeks ago, we began, it's not really a series, but it's a grouping of Bible studies. And I shared with you, each week that my purpose of these Bible studies, we're going to be dealing with different aspects of prayer, different prayers in the Bible, different instructions about prayer. And the purpose is not just so we can learn more about prayer and what it is and why God does what he does and why he doesn't always. We're going to talk about those kind of things as we go along. But its purpose is to be very, very practical, that each time we dig into what we're looking at, that we will gain insight and examples and things that will help us in our prayer lives, okay? The first week we talked about praying God's word. We are guaranteed that if we pray God's will, he will say yes. So how do we know how to pray God's will? We do it by praying God's word. And we do that by choosing a passage, whether it's part of our daily devotions, one of the Psalms, whatever it might be. And we meditate on that, and then we turn it into a prayer. Okay? And if you missed that one, you can listen to it online. All right? Last week, we talked about praying God's priorities. We actually looked at Colossians last week also, Colossians chapter 1, a prayer of Paul that lets us know certain things that are God's priorities for our lives and a part of his will for us. So if we pray those things for ourselves, we can know that God's going to answer it. And we can not only pray them for ourselves, but we can pray them for other people. Tonight, I want us to look in a little bit different direction. The title is Praying for God's Messengers, and we'll dig into that a little bit more here in just a moment. And let me just warn you once again that on these Wednesday nights, I'm trying to travel a little bit faster than usual, and I may have to cut off discussion a little bit quicker than usual, because each of these nights we're finishing soon enough or early enough that we can actually put into practice what we've learned before we go home. So I give you homework, but you get to do it in class. But I hope you're going to do it at home too, okay? All right, so question to get us jumping in here. What type of things, or what are some examples of things that people, you or maybe not you, are passionate about? Music. Music. What? Family. What else are things people are passionate about? What'd you say? Love. Yes. Hobbies. Yeah, and there's a big, you know, these people have different hobbies. Yeah. Education. Health. What'd you say? Staying fit. Same thing as health. You guys are choosing the positive ones. Since people are passionate about money. Things, you know. I mean, there's a lot of things we can be passionate about, okay? But the point I want to make here is that whatever we're passionate about, we're going to invest in. And I don't mean just money, but if we're passionate about something, we'll spend money on it, right? We'll spend time on it. If it's a good thing, if we're believers, we will spend time in prayer for it, right? If you're really passionate about it, like you got a certain relationship, whether it's your spouse, your kids, your parents, whatever, a certain friend, and you're passionate about that relationship and there's a need, you're going to pray, right? We're going to be talking about this in relationship to prayer. And not only do we invest in what we're passionate about, I don't know if you found this to be true, but whatever you invest in, you become more passionate about, okay? There may be something that really isn't that big a deal to you, but then because somebody else invited you or you were involved in an activity or whatever and you spent some time, you spent some money doing that, and it's like, oh, I'm more passionate about that now, okay? A really practical example is that if you decide, well, I want to invest some money, and you invest some money in a particular stock or whatever, as that money begins to make more money, you're going to be more passionate about it, right? But the same thing is true for prayer. I would submit to you that those things that we pray sincerely about, we will become more passionate about. And that's really the focus of what I want to look at tonight, because we should pray more for those things that we want to be passionate about, or we know we should be passionate about, even if we're not passionate about it right now. So we've been talking about the Apostle Paul. Last week we looked at one of his prayers. We're going to look at another one tonight. We'll look at several more before we're finished with this group of Bible studies. But from your understanding of Paul and what you know about him, whether that's a lot or a little, what was it that Paul was passionate about? What'd you say, Verissa? Winning souls for Christ. Lynn?
Care for the churches.
Care for the churches that he established. Okay? So winning souls for Christ and then helping them grow and develop and be organized to encourage and strengthen one another. All right? Did I see another hand? What else is he passionate about? Yes, sir. Planting churches, yeah, going out and planting more. So, you know, winning people to Jesus, but getting them established and starting churches. Chris? Very passionate for his own people, the Jewish people, come to know Jesus as the Messiah. In fact, in Romans, he says, if it was possible, which it's not, I would give up my salvation if they would be saved. Yeah. Joan? Do what? Unity among believers. Yeah, that's one of the themes he wrote about a lot. Mike? The gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, we finished a couple weeks ago a study of the letter of Philippians. And one of the things you haven't mentioned yet, all these things are very true, is he said one of his main passions is to know Jesus, to really know Jesus. Somebody once said, if you could summarize Paul's passions, and it's a really great statement for us to be passionate about, is to know Jesus and to make him known. In fact, that phrase became a motto, I think it was for Youth with a Mission or something like that. But to know Jesus and to make him known. And all the things you find Paul writing about, all the things you guys talked about, those are two key things that he really talked a lot about. And the thing is Paul was passionate that people come to know Christ. And a question we have to wrestle with is, are we passionate for that to happen? And we can say, yeah, I am. But what proof might there be in our lives that is true? Do we spend time talking to people about Jesus? Do we try to learn what we need to know so we can be effective at doing that? And for the purposes of tonight, do we pray about that? Because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is giving his testimony. And in verses 17 to 18, he talks about something that God specifically said to him when he called him to the ministry and he got saved. He said, God said, I am sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He says, God told me, he's sending me to get people out of darkness to the light. You know, they know Jesus. All right. So tonight we're going to talk about praying for God's messengers. Who are God's messengers? Now, I hear a lot of different things, and so it's all muddling together. All the followers of Christ. Okay, you're taking the thunder away from the very beginning. You know, if you say, Paul is a great messenger, right? Yeah. Some people say, pastors are messengers, right? Because they get up and preach. Anybody gets up and preaches a sermon. Missionaries are messengers, right? Yeah. But you know what? God calls all of us to be messengers. Okay? All of us. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. We're going to be looking at a very short passage, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. We'll read the whole thing through now, and then we're going to kind of break it down. And as we read it through, you might say, well, you know, verses 5 and 6 really don't have much to do with this topic, but they really, really do as far as praying for messengers. So let's look at Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So, as we've been doing the last couple of weeks, we're going to draw from this passage things that we can pray. That we can pray for people that God wants to use as his messengers. We can pray it for other people. I certainly would love it if you find the time to pray these things for me as a messenger, not just as an individual, but as a pastor. I know Brother Lynn would say, hey, pray these things for me too. But not just that we would pray them for people who preach the gospel or to pray for missionaries. In fact, we've always encouraged you to be involved in missions by not only giving, you know, and being a missionary, but to pray for missionaries. The things we're going to talk about tonight are really good things to pray for missionaries about. But as we just said, don't stop there. Pray these same things for yourself. All right? Now, Paul starts out with just some general prayer principles in verse 2. Okay? First of all, we have number 1, pray faithfully. Pray faithfully. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer. What does that mean? Or what does that make you think of? If we're supposed to continue steadfastly in prayer, some translations have it translated, be devoted to prayer. And you may recognize that phrase because it's used in Acts several times. It talks about people being devoted to prayer. What does that actually mean, though?
Without ceasing.
Without ceasing. Okay? So that means that we go around all day long muttering to God. I always like to play the devil's advocate. No, what does it mean to pray without ceasing, Vita? I know you know what you're talking about. What does it mean to pray without ceasing?
Okay, so you pray
instead of praying. Okay, you have persistence in prayer. Mm-hmm. And there's another aspect of it. You're constantly aware of God's presence in your life. You're always ready to talk to Him. Just like if you're spending the day with a friend, you know, there'll be moments of silence, but there's going to be a lot of conversation going on. And whatever you experience, whatever you see, you may talk about it. And we kind of develop that kind of a habit between us and God. In fact, on your note sheet, I have 1 Thessalonians 5:17. That is that passage. It says, pray without ceasing. Chris, I saw your hand. Yeah, the movie War Room had a lot to do about being persistent in prayer for the needs until they're met. And Jesus taught a lot about being persistent in prayer. You know, he said, you know, you need to keep coming back to God, keep coming back to God. All right. And when we most need this, I think, is when we don't feel like praying. When we don't feel like praying is one of the most important times for us to pray. We need to just push through. Okay. So we pray faithfully. The second one is pray watchfully. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. What does that mean? What do you think he means by that? What thoughts come to your mind about being watchful in prayer?
Being aware.
Being aware of what?
Being aware of the progress, being aware that I'm focusing.
Yeah. Okay, so focus, being watchful so that you don't get distracted, being aware of our enemy, being aware of the needs, being aware of the progress as we're persisting in prayer, all those are great things, okay? Some people have said that this may be referring to being watchful. It would include all those things, but being watchful in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back soon, because that phrase is used so many times by Jesus himself and by Paul about Jesus is going to come back eventually. We need to be watchful, but it can also be all those things we were just talking about, just awake and alert. Yes, Vita.
You're talking about Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you keep getting the secondary points. That's good, because on the note sheet there, it says Mark 14:38. Exactly, that's exactly what we had down there. When Jesus told the disciples, you know, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, watch and pray with me. And he went and prayed, and what did they do? They fell asleep. Yeah. He says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we've got to be watchful. All right. Also on your note sheet, I have Ephesians 6:18. This is in the context of Paul talking about spiritual warfare and the armor of God. And he says, pray at all times in the spirit. The idea being you got an enemy, you're going to be in a battle, you got to be watchful. And that includes prayer. The third one is pray thankfully. Pray thankfully. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. We've talked about that a lot, especially recently as we were working our way through Philippians, that thanksgiving is so important, and not just for the turkey. Oh, you all asleep. Thanking God, no matter what you're facing, okay? It's a very important theme in Colossians and in Philippians, both of those letters written while Paul was in prison, just a gratefulness for what God has done, no matter what we're currently facing. One of the passages we dealt with in Philippians is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we talked about that. Thanksgiving is important, not just so that we show our gratefulness to God for what he's done, but it helps build our faith. If we've got a big need in our life, and it's like, oh, Lord, this need. And then it's like, well, God, but I thank you because I had a need sort of like this a year ago, and you took care of me. Or I had a friend, and this happened, and you took care of them. And it helps build our faith to trust God for what we're in need of today. So those are just some basic general prayer principles, but now I want to talk about specific things that we can pray for God's messengers, okay? People who preach and teach, and people who share, and ourselves included, because God wants to use us to be His messengers. So how do we pray about that, okay? Now, as I read this earlier, it may have been long enough you don't remember, what kind of things is Paul asking prayer for in this passage? Opportunities. Okay. Opportunities to present the word of God undiluted to the people. Yeah. Yeah. Open doors. He asks for prayer that he can do it clearly so they can understand it. He talks about the message he wants to get to them, that he wants it to be the right message. Now remember, Paul's in prison. What are some things he could have asked for prayer for? Freedom. Other needs. I mean, there's a lot of things, and there'd be absolutely nothing wrong with him praying for those things or even asking for those things. But again, it shows his passion. It shows what's most important, and he's more concerned that God's going to use him in prison than that he get out or that he has a specific need met, all right, at least for what he shares in this passage, all right? And what this can encourage and challenge us is that, yes, we can bring any need we have to God. In fact, God wants us to. He tells us to. But not to just stop there. Be praying about those things that God has for us and the things that God wants us to do. Otherwise, we're being a little bit selfish, just always praying about our needs and what we want. Okay? So the first thing here is pray for opportunities to share the truth. Pray for opportunities to share the truth. Verse 3, Paul says, at the same time, pray also for us. He's got friends with him. He's in prison, but he's got friends that are there with him. Pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Now, first of all, let me just explain this mystery of Christ. We think of mysteries, we think of like watching a mystery or reading a mystery book that somebody killed somebody and nobody knows who did it and you got to follow the clues and figure it out. And that's not the idea of mystery here. When you find the word mystery used in the New Testament, mostly in Paul's writings, it's talking about something that had not been revealed yet, but now it is, okay? And in this context, and in most of Paul's writings, he's talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He showed up and some people got it, but a lot of people didn't get it because it hadn't been revealed. And then when God revealed it, some people didn't want to accept it. Another part of the mystery, or the part that had not been revealed yet that he had the privilege of revealing, was the fact that it wasn't just the Jewish people that could be in relationship with God and have Jesus be their Savior. The Gentiles could too. All right, so those are two different aspects. So basically what he's saying here is pray for opportunities for me to share the truth that Jesus is the Messiah and we can be saved from our sins through him. All right. Now he says, pray that God may open to us a door. That's kind of a word picture, but what's a practical way of saying what he's trying to communicate here? What'd you say, Sharon? To have access to people, an open door. You know, we think of missionaries going to another country and they say, well, pray that we have an open door. What do they mean? They want to have access to the people there. Carlton. Yes. Let me see if I can summarize that for the recording. But Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens, I'll come in and have fellowship with him. You know, I've supped with him. And so there's also that aspect of not just access to people, but that they would open their hearts. You know, pray for an open door. Well, you pray God soften their hearts. May they be open. You know, give me the opening to talk to him, but may they be open to receive. Okay, so an opening to talk, but also opening to receive. All right. Yeah, open doors to share the gospel. You know, even though Paul's in, he's incarcerated, basically, who can he share the gospel with? The guards, right? Yeah. And in their case, they could have visitors, other people, you know, could come in and out. But I want to say that this applies not just to, like, preaching or some official opportunity to share your testimony, but it just applies to everyday life. That if we can go through life saying, God, open doors for me today to be used by you, okay? It's interesting that Paul is praying that he'd be able to do more of what put him in prison in the first place. Okay. He says something similar in Ephesians 6, verses 19 and 20. Praying also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. And so again, this challenges us. Is the focus of our prayers only our problems and our needs? Or are we willing to say, God, use me. Give me an open door. All right? So, before we go on to the next point, if we want to apply this in our prayers, taking this principle, praying for opportunities to share the truth, what would that look like if you were praying that for, say, a missionary? Let's say you got a missionary in mind and you want to pray this for them. What are some things that you could pray? Amanda. Okay, that the people they're going to would be open to receive the message. I mean, isn't that part of what we prayed for Amanda and Lisa tonight? Right? That the people they're going to, God would prepare their hearts now. We didn't use the word open door, but that they would be open to receive what God wants them to. Yeah, Dorothy. Do what? For their protection. Yeah, that God would open a door and he would allow them to go through it. I mean, he's got to protect them to get there through there. Vita. Yes, depending on where they're going and in place, many places in the world, that there'd be an open door in the sense of not just the opportunity, but that they would be able to do so without harassment, without persecution. I mean, it's going to come, but still that there would be restrictions perhaps that would be lifted. You know, we have a certain missionary just got a newsletter from them today. I'm not going to mention her name, but she's going to Northeast Asia. Many of you know what country that is. We're not supposed to say that she's going there out loud. But in her newsletter, she was talking about she's ready to go back, hopes to go back in July. And one of the things she specifically said is that God would open the right doors, not only for her to get there, but to get reestablished because she's been out of the country since before COVID. And it's a place where you can't go as a, quote, missionary. You got to go for something else, share the gospel. So, yeah. Chris. Okay. Well, that is definitely something that we would pray. I don't know how much that has to do with open door. It could be, though, that God would confirm his word with signs following. All right. And how will we pray this for ourselves? You know, we think about missionaries, but the same thing for us, right? God, give me an opportunity. Give me an open door. Lynn.
One of the things that both at the same time, locking with persons.
Mm-hmm. That's right. In fact, the boldness actually leads into the next one that we're talking. It's part of the open door, too. You know, but we just have to get it in our minds that God wants to use us right where we are. If we work, he wants us to use us in the workplace. If we go to school, he wants to use us in school. He even wants to use you at church. In your family, okay, your neighborhood, wherever you go, especially among people with whom you have a relationship or you have the opportunity to develop a relationship. Sometimes praying about an open door is just as simple as, Lord, help me to have the opportunity to get to know my neighbor better. And that's harder today than it used to be because people drive into their garages, get out of the car, and it's all shut. You know, you got to catch them in the yard or whatever. It may be as simple as saying, God, I see my neighbor, but I have never really talked to them. So give me an opportunity. Give me an open door, you know. And then as you build relationships, praying, Lord, okay, now we have a relationship. We're talking, but open the door in a conversation that I can step through and bring up Jesus and all that kind of stuff. Let's go on to the second one, okay. Pray that you share the truth clearly. Pray that you share the truth clearly. Verse 4, right after he says, pray that I have an open door to declare the mystery of Christ, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And then verse 6 gives us a little bit more information on what that should look like in our conversation. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer to each person. Okay. Now, this is where we get stuck sometimes. Okay, God wants to use me to share Jesus with others, but I'm not sure if I know how to do it. Okay, I'm afraid I won't have the answers to the questions. I've said this many times. We always have an answer to whatever question they give. Sometimes it's, I don't know, but I'll find out. Okay, very simple. Okay. But God will help us. And so when you pray that you'll share the truth clearly, obviously you want to be able to share the truth in a way that can be understood, all right? But sometimes it's the right words for the right person, for the situation. Sometimes it's different because of the age of the person. I mean, you would share the gospel differently with somebody who's 20 than you would with somebody who's 9, you know, and other generations and stuff. But that's part of what we're praying. God, help me to have the right way to share the truth with this person. I can tell you that as a pastor, and a pastor who preaches, I pray this stuff all the time. As I'm doing my studying and I'm preparing my Bible studies and my sermons, it's like, Lord, I want to not only have the right information, but I want to be able to present it in a way that it's clear, that I won't be misunderstood, that it's true to your word, and it's easy to know how to apply it. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that I apply that for me, okay? But he gives us some practical advice for sharing the truth effectively in verse 6. Letter A, use gracious speech. Let your speech always be gracious. What does that mean? What? Loving, kind. Yes. Don't beat them over the head with the gospel. All right? I like this statement. You may win an argument, but you probably won't win them to Christ. Very few people will be won to Christ by an argument. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen. Certain instances maybe it has. Peter says this in 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to make a defense, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love. So use gracious speech. Note B, use salty speech. He says, season with salt. What does that mean? Now, some contexts using salty speech means you're saying words you really shouldn't be saying. That's not what Paul's saying here, okay? But what is he saying when he says we should speak it seasoned with salt? What? Nice words? Okay, but what kind of context, what kind of, not context, what kind of ideas salt bring? Well, you know, Jesus said be salt of the earth, and there's a lot there, but you know, there's preservation, salt's used for healing, but salt is used to spice things up, right? Have you ever heard somebody share the gospel and they were so boring, it's like, I'm a Christian, I'm not sure I want what they got. You know what I'm saying? We as Christians should be full of joy, and our conversation should be seasoned with, in other words, it's pleasant, it's gracious. We talked about this, it's positive, you know, I mean, we've got to share some negative truths, that's true. But we do it in such a way that it's interesting, that it isn't like, oh my goodness, I'm bored with this too, but I have to share it with you. Norris, you had your hand up. Okay. As much as possible, anyway, not offensive. Sometimes just the truth is offensive. That's the one thing. But you don't do it in a way that's offensive. You know, talking to people about their sin can be offensive, but you don't want to do it in an offensive way. Exactly. Thirst. Yeah, salt can induce thirst. And that's another aspect of it. The way we talk about Jesus and stuff, it makes them thirsty for Jesus. Were you going to say something, Lynn?
Yeah, it's better to use seasoned with salt. Answer to everyone that asks.
That's right. So that's another aspect of it that Paul refers to here, and Peter both, that obviously you're answering, that you're letting them be part of the conversation too. You're not just pouring it all on them. There's a back and forth. All right, I'm going to have to move along so we can't actually practice this tonight. But letter C, use knowledgeable speech that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And that may require a little bit of study. You know, why is it that we'll study stuff for an occupation, we'll study stuff for school, we'll study stuff for our hobby, but we don't want to take the time to study how we can more effectively share the gospel with others? Some people, anyway. Anyway, 1 Peter 3:15, I mentioned that before, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So there's this combination of knowledge that we get from spending time with God and His Word and all that kind of stuff, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and we need both. Okay? But God will use you right where you are. So I was going to ask you, how do we pray this for ourselves and for missionaries, but we don't have time to do that. So let me go on to the next one. You guys are smart enough to figure that out. But number three, pray for a lifestyle that demonstrates truth. Pray for a lifestyle that demonstrates truth. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. So, you know, this isn't so much, he doesn't ask for prayer for that, but yet this becomes an issue of prayer too, that we can live in such a way that our life is a testimony to those who are outside. He's talking about people who are outside the church, who are outside the family of God. They don't know Jesus yet, okay? He says, walk in wisdom. Be careful of your lifestyle. People are watching you. 1 Thessalonians 4:12 says, walk properly before outsiders. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. So I say, well, what does your lifestyle have to do with sharing God's message? Everything. If you're sharing the truth, but your life is a mess, and it doesn't mean you got to be perfect, but it's like you're a hypocrite, why would they want what you have? In fact, hypocrites are one of the biggest things that keep people from coming to Jesus. You know, you can talk the talk, but do you walk the walk? Our reputation, our character, what we do, how we carry ourselves out. Again, not perfection. None of us are perfect yet. And this is why it's sometimes more difficult to share with our family and the people that are closest to us, because they know what we're really like. They don't just see the mask. But you know what? Even if we're not perfect, because we aren't, our willingness to admit that we're not, and our willingness to apologize, and our willingness to admit when we're wrong, can make a big difference. Our willingness to say, you know what, I really blew that yesterday when I told you this, or I said it that way, and I've asked God to forgive me, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Yes, you blew it, but that is a testimony in itself. Even our failures can be a witness. Okay? And so even though this is made as a statement, walk in wisdom, that can become a prayer request. Lord, help me to walk in wisdom. What in my life is an obstacle for people to see Jesus in me? What can I do about that? Help me to do that, okay? I like this quote from the NIV Study Bible. It says, the most effective missionaries can be ordinary Christians who demonstrate Christ's teaching in their lives as they intermingle with others. On your note sheet, I have this, may my character, conduct, and conversation all point to Christ. May my character, conduct, and conversation all point to Christ. You've probably heard the statement, you're the only Jesus that some will ever see. Okay? All right. And so we talk about using words to share, bring the message, but we do that with our life too, and they need to match as much as possible. All right? And this is a lifelong challenge because we're all still growing. All right, number four, take advantage of the opportunities you have. We already talked about praying for open doors, praying for opportunities. But we need to look for them. And then when we see them, we need to do it. I mean, how much good is it if we pray for them and we see an opportunity and we don't do anything? And I'm just probably as guilty as you are. Has that ever happened to you? It's like, you know, you're at a restaurant or you're talking to somebody or whatever. And it's like, God's nudging you. Well, say something to them. And it's like, and then you walk away. It's like, oh Lord, I missed it. I messed that one up, you know? And don't beat yourself up too much, but just say, God, I'm sorry I missed that opportunity. Give me another one. You know, help me to do better next time. All right? So anyway, take advantage of the opportunities you have. I have down there Ephesians 5, 15, and 16, but I already read that, and that was basically where Paul was talking about make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Okay? So the time's short. We need to pray for opportunities, look for them, and then use them, all right? Again, there's very practical ways on how we can pray this for ourselves, but also for missionaries. So as we wrap this up, so we have at least a couple minutes to pray before we dismiss, all right? People need Jesus. The thing is do we care? Do we care enough to pray about it and then do something about it, all right? So are we praying for the people that are out there reaching them, you know? People that God is using as a messenger, missionaries and evangelists and teachers and preachers. And are we praying that God will use us to reach them? All right. So I want us to put this into practice, just like we've been doing the last couple of weeks. We're going to take the next 5 minutes, and I want to encourage you to take the things that we've talked about tonight and your own understanding and creativity in these 4 points and pray these things for yourself. And if you do it really well, that's probably all you have time for. But you can also pray them for a missionary. You may have a certain missionary that God's laid on your heart, okay? Or if you say, God, what missionary would you like me to pray for right now? Now, if you're sitting here saying, I don't even know the names of any missionaries and nothing's coming to mind, then pray this for Amanda because she's here tonight and she's going to Zimbabwe next month. I'm being serious, okay? So let's take 5 minutes and apply this, praying for yourself and or praying for a missionary, or you can pray it for me. I'll be perfectly happy with that. And then I'll come back for us to finish up. Okay? Okay, so let's take 5 minutes. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Put it into practice. Hallelujah. All right, the 5 minutes is up. I'm sure you didn't have enough time to pray everything you could have. As I got to the end of my prayer, God just laid something on my heart for me to pray about, and I think it'd be a good way for all of us to pray, and we'll conclude with it tonight, the way this applies, and that is we all probably have loved ones, family members, friends who don't know Jesus. They're not surrendered to Jesus, and our heart is like, Lord, I want them to come to know Jesus. I know that's true for me, and I was praying for one person in particular, and a good way to pray this for them is to say, God, open their hearts and use me, but send other people to them that they'll be open to and help me or help them to have the right words and the right way to reach them. So as we close tonight, I just want to encourage you to have somebody in your mind. And let's close tonight by praying that for those people. Father, as we come to the end of our time and our lesson tonight, I pray that you'd help us to put this into practice, Lord, not just tonight, but as a part of our just spending time with you and seeking you and praying your will and seeking to be used by you, Lord. But as we wrap this up tonight, each of us has a different person, perhaps, or persons in our mind who do not yet know you, or maybe at one time they claimed to have a relationship with you or did, whatever, but they're away from you, Lord God. And our heart is, I want them to know Jesus. But Lord, maybe their heart's been hard or maybe it's been closed. And God, we pray that you would open their hearts, that you would help them as they go through life and the things that they face, that those things that they face, circumstances, conversations, whatever it might be, that it would soften their hearts, they would open the door. We pray that you would use us, but that you would use other people, that you would bring people into their path that will have this same heart and be willing to take that opportunity that you give to speak words that are gracious, that are life-giving, that are truthful, and that you would use us or use whatever individual you want to clearly present the truth in a way that that loved one that we're thinking of would be able to understand it, and that because of that, they would surrender their life to Christ. Father, we thank you for that. Help us to continue to apply these things that we're learning so that we can become better prayer warriors, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.